Let me take a moment and talk about Riverside.fm. It allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video. When you need to record audio and video, Riverside.fm can do it. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to any video content, Riverside.fm. I've got a promo code for you where you'll receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. I'll give it to you twice. The promo code is SHIPIT. All one word, ship it, and you'll pick up a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. Riverside.fm.
What's up, shipheads? It's draft day. We're back. I have another one coming your way. If you could not tell from our impromptu intro music there, we're going to be doing some Terminator. Pretty polarizing franchise we got here. Had to bring in Dez here to take down this draft with us. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm excited for this one. Like as you mentioned, very polarizing. You know, you either are right on board with all the Terminator universe, or you are just over it. You're done. After T2, you checked out, and then that was as far as you went with it. So,
yeah, I think you have the first one, which was just groundbreaking for the time, really helped kind of establish Cameron and put him on the map. And then you have T2, which is arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, sequels of all time. Really kind of changed the script, where the first Terminator is a little bit more of like a sci-fi horror, right? Kind of like along the terms of Halloween and that unstoppable killer force coming after you. They really took some chances and changed it up with T2, which just made for an all in all amazing movie, much more action oriented. That type of strategy translated across a few different franchises there. And then after that, they've been kind of going back to the well a few times. And like you said, I think if there's news of a new Terminator movie coming out, on my end, I'm like, you get one more chance. I'll give you one more chance. And then the next one comes out, it doesn't do well. And then you get one more chance after that. I'll just keeping letting them go, especially if Arnold's tied to it. But then other people, like you said, are just like, you know, it's past, it's due, it's over. Just time to let it rest.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's just so many things that they, so many avenues that they've gone down. You know, it's, you know, Arnold's the Terminator and he, you know, he's coming to kill you. And then now Arnold's the Terminator and he's coming to save you. And then, you know, now there's these other, all these crazy other Terminators that are coming in. They're more advanced than Arnold. And he still has to protect you. Then there's ones without Arnold, then there's CGI Arnold, then there's the Sarah Connor Chronicles that were, you know, that was on TV there for a while without Arnold. You had all these crazy timelines, traveling into the future, traveling into the past. John Connor is this guy, not John Connor is this guy, changing up all the actors in, here and there. You get arguably one of the most iconic behind the scenes celebrity meltdown rants from Christian Bale on the set of one of the Terminator movies. You know, there's a lot of things that have come from this franchise, good for good or bad. I don't know. We'll let you decide about that. But, you know, definitely iconic. At this point, I'm not, even though I've seen every single one of these Terminators, I don't even know if I'm sure where things are at in these timelines here as far as, you know, and then you had the Sarah Connor come back in the last one to be her other version of herself. I think it was, I don't know. There's all these alternate realities and universes now. They're trying to tie them all back together.
Yeah, I think if you look at it at its core, each movie is a cat and mouse game. You have someone that needs to escape, someone that's coming after them. And there's like typical beats that play into that. And especially since T2, they really leaned into, you know, you have your machine or Terminator that you have some relationship with, or maybe they're an older version that is set to save them. And then you have this newer, more advanced technology that's ultimately going to come and try to take them out. And you have kind of that underdog story kind of tied to that matchup with that. And then you have the human side of it. So that's kind of like the playbook for every single movie that they've done. And know, it's interesting. We don't have to go too deep into the franchise and what works, what doesn't work. But you look at the first two and really kind of groundbreaking on a lot of levels, but they kind of changed up the structure of it at certain sections. So I feel like there is potential with this. The world they build, it's really interesting. It can hook you pretty easily. But I think them kind of going off script a little bit could be the best thing for them. Because if you watch through, I did this recently, watched through all of them from start to finish. There's a lot of interesting things they play with on the time travel side, on the alternate timeline side. There's things that they call back to, things, the way that things connect, I think is really interesting. So it's potential, but I think they've just leaned in. So this is what has worked in the past. So we're just going to keep doing this and just hoping that it lands, which has been ultimately their downfall.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is not a deep dive podcast. This is a fantasy draft podcast, but I feel like it has to go being said, whenever we discuss this franchise, obviously Arnold Schwarzenegger is the glue that holds this whole franchise together, starting from the first one and, showing up in all these other ones later on too. But this thing could have gone many different ways because, you know, the casting for this franchise almost went a different direction. Originally, James Cameron wanted O.J. Simpson to be the Terminator. And if you think about alternate realities, like I kind of want to see what that movie looked like, because I don't think the juice could have carried this franchise.
Maybe it's been a little bit more of a gap in between movies.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's quite the list. I mean, Stallone was considered very, very seriously at one point, but he had the Rambo franchise at the time. Mel Gibson turned it down. He felt he wasn't right for the Terminator, thankfully, because I don't think Mel Gibson could have carried this thing either. But let me just read you off a list of people that they threw this bone to before it ultimately landed in the Schwarzenegger's lap here. This list is quite ridiculous to think of some of these names playing the Terminator. And I wish some of these were a joke, because they're not, though. So
please tell me Danny DeVito was one of them.
You know, he could have been on this list and it wouldn't have been much more ridiculous. The list includes Tom Selleck, Kevin Kline, Michael Douglas, Ron Perlman, you know, I guess, okay.
I can see that, yeah.
Alec Baldwin, Michael Keaton. Here's where it starts to get off the rails a little bit. Chevy Chase was on the short list.
This is for the Terminator role?
For the Terminator, yeah. The original first Terminator movie.
Wow, Chevy Chase as
Chevy Chase. Robin Williams.
I have questions on this list. We need some validation from Cameron.
Jack Nicholson, Kevin Costner, John Travolta, and Harrison Ford were all on the list.
Basically anyone that probably had a blockbuster movie that year or that decade.
Yeah, which person can we get in here? If Robin Williams was coming to kill me, I don't think I'd be very scared. I don't think if he is a robot.
I have so much trouble believing that actually happened, or what that conversation would have been like.
Yeah. Yeah. Come with me if you want to live. Oh, no. Oh, okay. I'm going to kill you. Just imagine. Just
dropping random voice impressions.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have probably not have been the same franchise that we saw today with anybody else but Schwarzenegger. So thankfully, the casting here turned out okay. And we're in the right universe here where Schwarzenegger plays the Terminator. So.
Which is fitting. You have this peak of human ability almost as this unstoppable force. I think it's, you want to see someone imposing like that come in. And towards the later movies, they've had different variations on what that Terminator type of character is. They've gone much more like normal size human, or maybe more agility focused, flexibility focused, outside of this just like big brooding force. So really interesting when we look at a draft for it. Because with a lot of these properties that we're dealing with, you have one version of the character that you're dealing with, and then you lock them in and then they're on your team and you're good to go. Just due to the nature of this with timelines, with multiple versions of it, upgraded Terminators, we have a few different things to play at play here for ultimately who we can draft for. Not only do we want that character, which version of that character. So we have kind of the flexibility to have a few variations. If you want to do an all Arnold team for the most part, you can probably try to accomplish that. So
yeah,
it could be really interesting as we start to get into some of these individual picks on where we have preference and where we prioritize certain characters over the other ones.
Yeah, this might be just almost as difficult as if we were to do a Rick and Morty draft, and we had to figure out which Rick and Morty from which universe we were gonna figure out to do with here, because there's a lot of them. There's a lot to choose from.
Are you just earmarking that because you're wearing a Rick and Morty t-shirt?
Oh, that's
trying to keep that relevant. Oh, it was all planned out. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you know.
I don't like that you're coming back at me with the Terminator background again. You're trying to get in my head. I've been training. I'm not going to let you get me on tilt like you did for the Matrix draft.
Yeah, you know the green screen Zoom backgrounds. That's the little edge I have in these fantasy drafts now. So, speaking of that here. So I mean, we're gonna let's lay out the ground rules for everybody. We're for these teams here. It's just our standard 7-round draft. We're gonna do 7 rounds. The teams are going to look like this: 3 Terminators and 4 humans. So this is, you're going to draft a squad of humans to fight the Terminators, and you have a squad of Terminators to help you defend your humans against the other humans and Terminators. So yeah, I mean, what order we decide to draft them in is up to you. I mean, obviously we got quite a wide range to choose from here. So we'll see how it turns out. This draft, you've got first overall pick. Snake style heads up. Obviously, we're going to do that, gives you advantage in terms of 2 picks in a row, starting with your first pick going into second round. So I'm going to lead it off to you here for the first overall pick in this guy.
Yeah, and I like having the required slots for human versus Terminator, because if you had all Terminators, you're kind of going down and like, well, I want the 3rd Terminator from the left in that one battle scene to fill my last spot. And like, obviously you're going to preference Terminators in a head-to-head matchup like this, basically battle royale style, right? So like, our teams are going against each other, but the human dynamic is kind of fun. You get some characters that can obviously hold their own weight in there. You get some other characters that you go down the extended roster there with 4 human spots. You know, you got to go a little bit deeper. So kind of who's filling in some value adds there, who's really adding something to your team for what we're trying to accomplish here. So I'm really fascinated to see kind of where those end up. But I think you start off here, you got to go Terminator. I think you got to try to get some top tier talent on that. You know, with each movie as a default, you typically have 2 Terminators at play. You have the one defending the humans and one attacking them. Some of them, there's a few different variations of it. Maybe they queue in another one here or there, different T number, but that's pretty much the beat there. So looking at who's the best Terminators out there, who do I want on my team? I really want to value not only the abilities they have, but their smarts, how they interact in battle. You got to go with the best of them all here. You got to go with the T-800 from T2. This is okay. Kind of the updated version coming back after the first Terminator, Arnold coming back to save Sarah Connor and John Connor. And there's obviously upgrade models out there, which we're going to deal with. And you'll probably snag up a few with your next 2 picks here. And I can live with that. But here we have a Terminator that is literally opened up and has the ability to learn as he goes. And sure, you can have some upgrades here and there, but I don't think there's another Terminator out there that matches the power in battle, the brute strength force that he can offer with the ability to learn, to advance his strategy, to interact with the humans, which a lot of Terminators would have more issues with, and kind of go beyond that just singular focus and have more real-time decision-making as part of that. So plus he's arguably the greatest character in the franchise and one of the best characters of all time in movies. So got to lock him down first overall, even though there may be some other battle-oriented picks that may rise a little bit above him.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong going with the OG, the original Terminator here. I mean, I think Terminator 2, I think good choice going Terminator 2 instead of the original T-800 in Terminator 1. In terms of believability, he has much, much more realistic skin and that kind of stuff going on. And
better haircut.
When he's cutting his face open in the first one, there's clear distinction when it's Arnold and when it's like, you know, some sort of robotic creation that is meant to look like Arnold. So good choice there. Very much, much more realistic. Pretty tough guy. You got a set amount of value. I'd be lying if I didn't say
thumbs up.
I wasn't shedding a little tear when the thumbs up is going down into the lava at the end of Terminator 2, and arguably the best installment of the entire franchise, in my opinion, is Terminator 2.
Yeah.
So
You could make the case for the first Terminator, but it's a different beast. I think most people would lean towards T2 in that conversation. Yeah.
I'm not sure they even realized what they were making when they started with Terminator 1, if they realized what it was going to turn into when they created it. Cause it definitely has a different feel to it in the first one. Like you said, more suspenseful, kind of more of like a thriller, like sci-fi, being chased around.
I think it's a good point. I think it's interesting when you look at the first one, where I think you could have just made a sci-fi oriented film with those horror themes. Like, you know, your Halloween-esque, your Jason-esque type of structure just with sci-fi elements. But it was like a really well thought out plan and world building that went into it. So it's kind of interesting to go back in time and, no pun intended, but like go back in time and chat with Cameron and get his thoughts on like what his initial plans were for this idea. And if all the building blocks were there, if they kind of just evolved it from there over time.
Yeah, because I mean, definitely as the franchise moved on and got into later installments, I think Cameron has a lot less to do with it now. It's kind of just a production company owned franchise now, where it just kind of does its own thing. So I'm going to take my first overall pick here. Again, good choice there on the T-800. I'm going to go just 200 better than the T-800. I'm gonna take the T-1000.
Ooh, also, getting the OG matchup going.
That's right. Also, from Terminator 2.
The Creed Rocky matchup.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna combat the T-800, you got to go with the T-1000. You know, arguably one of my favorite Terminators. Have you seen this boy? You know, you've got Robert Patrick.
You just did like the T-1000 doing an Arnold impression.
Yeah, I kind of did. Yeah.
Have you seen this boy? Yeah.
Have you seen this child over here? So, you know, you've got the T-1000, one of the cool upgrades. He's liquid metal. He can morph into any character, any person just by touching them. That's a pretty cool advantage. Robert Patrick, a nice, young, skinny Robert Patrick, just real early in his career. Just the run. I mean, there's just he's got that run where the arms are going to go in and,
great running form. All time great running form.
Yeah.
Going at Tom Cruise in that corner.
To this day, I mean, I still pull that run out when I'm chasing after somebody. It just looks cool.
You're just like in the background chasing your kids with like full on sprint. <They're> terrified.
So the T-1000, yeah, I'm going to go with T-1000 and start my Terminator squad. A good yin to your yang. And then I'll start off the second round. I'm going to go with a human here. I've got top tier talent Terminator to match up to yours. I want top tier talent humans here. So I'm going to go with, you got to go with John Connor. He's the leader of the resistance. And in this situation, there's lots of John Connors you could go with. You could go Terminator 2, you know, angsty, you know, teenage John Connor. But I'm going to go with Terminator Salvation, the Christian Bale. Let's yell out the grips. Let's yell out the lighting guys.
Just bringing the pure rage onto the team.
Yeah. He's just got straight up anger and he's going right after it. Terminator Salvation, John Connor, played by Christian Bale, is by far, I think, top tier John Connor talent in the John Connor pool.
Well, unless you go like the few minutes from the flashbacks from the first ones you have, that's like the best version of the John Connor character, where obviously you have the leader element with that. So when you look at like the human side of it, that's probably going to be up there for like your top picks, right? So I can respect that there. It'd be going to be interesting to see how some of the other Terminators break down here with these next few picks. Is that too early, or did you snag up that talent going proactively on it and it ends up benefiting you? So be interested to see that. When I look at the T-800 to T-1000 matchup, I get some of the upgrades, and that's like a really unique version of the Terminator that like it's hard to account for, right? But a few very distinct weaknesses for it. You can freeze it, you can melt it. Those are like the Achilles heel of that character. When you look at the T-800, what's the easy way to kill him? It's kind of just like brute force and just wearing him down out and down and down. Like there's no easy button unless you have a trash compactor that you're carrying around in your back pocket. So I look at just like the field of battle. I think it'd be a lot easier to recreate an opportunity to you know, slow him down with something with from a freezing perspective or melting him, as opposed to you, you know, completely crushing the T-800 in a scalable way. So that's where that's my thoughts on that matchup. And we saw a play on the movies, so I'll let that be the events. But that's how I feel coming off the first few picks here.
Yeah, you know, I was honestly surprised that they didn't really continue the T-1000 kind of like model type, because, well, I mean, they kind of did a little bit with the in Terminator 3 with the next Terminator there. She was kind of like a hybrid of like the metal and the liquid metal. But yeah, definitely a good solid matchup there. So, you know, it's going to be over to you now for your second round pick.
Yeah, and, so I got two here.
Back to back.
When I'm looking at the human side, actually, when I look at my board here, you got John Connor. That's a good top tier human pick. As I start going down the list here, it gets really interesting for who else we're going to snag up here. Where Terminators, you do have a few more options. So I'm going to try to corner the market on some of the humans here and just leave a little bit more drop off for those rest of your human picks there. I'm going to lock down John Connor's off the table. You got to go Sarah Connor. You need one of her on your team. I think there's two options for this pick. You have, you know, Terminator. She's kind of that innocent girl that gets thrust into the situation. Ideally, you don't want that on this type of environment. Terminator 2, she's much more seasoned. She's kind of aware of it. She's been training and preparing. That's, I think, some huge value adds you can bring to the team. I'm going to go Dark Fate on this one, though, because she has all the upside of the T2 version, but much more experience. She's gone through the battles. You know, she's seen it play out with John Connor and kind of that flashback scenario where you really got to be ready for anything. And I think that really pushed her to be even more prepared and be even more ruthless in getting the job done and taking down these Terminators. So kind of like that rage element that you're bringing with Christian Bale on set. I'm bringing that more seasoned Sarah Connor and just the experience that she brings to the table.
Okay. I can't say too much negative about that either. Again, you definitely got to have a Sarah Connor or a John Connor on your team. Definitely,
you need some Connors for sure.
You need no Dan Connor, and we don't want the Connors from the ABC show. That they're not going to do you much good here, unless they're cracking jokes on the couch. But yeah, no, definitely some timelines to choose from. Dark Fate, yeah, okay, I'll give it to you. She's been through the ringer. She might have seen a lot of stuff. So some good experience there for sure.
And maybe it's just me personally, but out of all the post T2 movies, I low-key enjoyed Dark Fate out of all of them.
Yeah.
I did enjoy some stuff from that. I appreciate where they're going with and more of the tone they were setting. Some of it fell short, but I may be a little bit more Homer picks for some of those.
I gotta give the Dark Fate a rewatch, I think, because I feel like maybe the first time I watched it, I was kind of, maybe I was doing other things while I was watching it. And I wasn't like, you know, fully engulfed in the movie. I've only given it like, 80% of my attention, you know, when it was on. So I think it probably deserves a rewatch on my part, but I think it was a solid film. I like that they circled back around and tried to rewrite some of the canon almost in a sense where they went back and rewrote some history there. Not a bad idea.
Yeah, I think that serves them right. As much as they can get off of that just structure and the playbook of the original sequels there, I think it opens them up a little bit. So got another pick here. I'm going to keep the human train going because, I think that lock up these first few ones here, there's some drop off. And when I look at the humans, you've got a character that really outperformed what they were set to do and really overachieved on all the expectations that was set. You have Kyle Reese being sent back, one-way trip, no weapons, sent back the late 80s and going against a Terminator. And this is where you don't have, you know, these characters as they go through, they have some experience and all these expectations of kind of what works, what doesn't work. He's kind of going up against this unstoppable force with very limited resources. So always going to love Kyle Reese in that movie, in that first movie. Would have been interesting if I could got that power couple with Sarah Connor from T2, or the first Terminator with Kyle Reese, but I like having that little bit of separation there. So I'm going to lock down Kyle Reese because I think that no matter what the situation is, what resources are available, he's going to get resourceful and, you know, is it building pipe bombs? Is it doing whatever? Just doing whatever we need to do to get through the battle and come out on top.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I don't know. Where do I start with this one here? I mean, here's my first thought. You got Kyle Reese. He's going back to protect Sarah Connor, and he's really going back to bang Sarah Connor, because that's how you, without Kyle Reese, you got no John Connor. And it's like later on in the future, like you, as John Connor, you know that that's what you're doing. You're sending back your dad, like to save your mom. But it's like, why wouldn't, you know, I'm not sure. Like I'm kind of having a brain cloud moment here. Does he ever tell Kyle Reese in any of these movies ever before he sends him back that he's like his dad? No. Or like, no. It never happens, right? Like it would mess things up.
He gives him the photo, and you know, it's a good question. I have to go back. I'm trying to think if John Connor even knows that Kyle Reese is his father.
I think he does.
If that comes out in any of the tapes that she sent him.
I feel like in the Christian Bale one, he mentions about having to know he's sending his own father back to his death, basically, because he's like, oh yeah, I have to like choose to send him back. And like, but I have to, because I'm not going to be born without sending him back.
Yeah. And this is where it gets a little bit muddled with the sequels, where they start to rewrite some stuff. But
right.
Yeah. Kyle Reese isn't aware of that. John Connor gives him a picture and talks about his mom all the time, and almost just through the kind of the idea of Sarah Connor, he's like always kind of in his mind, kind of had a thing or kind of pictured himself or like what she would be like. So when he goes back, that's what really kind of accelerates their love story.
Yeah.
But he's not aware of it.
Got to be a little awkward on your team, though. I mean, you've got Kyle Reese, 1980 Kyle Reese, going to be hanging out with like super grizzled, old, gray-haired Sarah Connor from Dark Fate. Like, there's always going to be some, you know, attraction there, because, you know, they were attracted to each other when she was younger. But, I mean, poor Kyle Reese has got to...
Hey, she's still got that BAMF haircut going, you know. You never know.
Maybe.
Age is only a number, Adam.
Well, she's a different Sarah Connor when she comes back in Dark Fate. So yeah. He might not like the conversation, post bedtime situation there. having to deal with that hardened Sarah Connor. So,
you know, if she's not into it, what does that mean? Your John Connor's not around, so I take him off the board. Now we're just going to like time travel loop and mind melding. Yeah.
It's a we're getting into Bruce Willis Looper problems here. So
yes, exactly.
All right, so we'll just ignore all that. We'll just keep moving forward with the draft here. Our hypothetical situation here. I'm going to go my third round pick, and then I'll start off the fourth round right after it. I'm going to take, we were talking about the Liquid Terminator, the T-1000. I like that kind of setup, that model of that. So I'm going to take the TX from Terminator 3. She comes back, finds the first thing she can find. Well, I don't know if it's really a she, I guess. It's a robot. So, but it takes the form of the supermodel in the TX. Kind of like an upgraded T-1000, you know, maybe she's got the ability to just shapeshift, transform, and then, you know, but she's got the very cool weaponry underneath all the transformation.
Yeah, she kind of like rework her arm and stuff, like her hands and stuff, right?
Different weapons and cannons and things.
From a metal standpoint, it's much stronger durability-wise.
Yeah.
Compared to the previous model.
And I guess if you're John Connor, it'd probably be a little easier on the eyes to take a cannon from the TX than it would be from Arnold. You know, it's like, oh, there's like this, here comes the supermodel. Like, what does she want from me? Oh, she's going to chop my head off. Okay. Well, she might get a little closer if you're John Connor.
But you're not
expecting it. What?
You have John Connor.
I know I have him, so I'm not worried about that. I'm just saying, like, in general, like, If you're sending back a Terminator to kill somebody, you know, it's probably easier to do it with a better looking Terminator than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I don't know, dude. If Arnold came up to me and a supermodel came up to me, I might go to Arnold first. Just to chit chat.
Yeah, I mean, knowing what you know now, you might do that. But so, yeah, then I'm going to go right into my fourth round pick here. some more humans. This one might be. I'm not sure how useful this pick's going to be. I'm trying to justify it again.
I love it.
It might be because I just like this character so much. You know, in terms of the movies, but I'm going to go with Dr. Silberman from Terminator 2. He's got this quality about him. You know, obviously he's a doctor. He has the power to, you know, to put people in the psych ward, pull them off the streets. He's got the medicine to put the shots in you and make you pass out. So I'm not sure battle wise how much help he's going to be. He kind of hides under a lot of desks and freaks out a lot. But you know,
there's a long play to it, especially Kyle Reese coming back and blabbering on about machines taking over and
right, have him come in, maybe take him off the field.
He's got the power
of the pen, really, in this sense. He's not much of a battle guy, mm-hmm. but the power of the pen in this situation. I'm just trying to come at this from a different angle, you know, hopefully.
So you're like the 48 hours leading up to the actual battle is when you're dropping Silberman on me.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he's going to come in there. He's going to try to preemptively take Kyle Reese out before stuff hits the fan. So
yeah, him and John Connor are going to get along really well. Yeah, that's not going to go bad at all.
I think maybe. You know, it's once you get beyond John and Sarah Connor, the human aspect of it, the field gets real thin. So
this is where it gets fun, man.
Yeah, so you gotta take some risks, and I think
it's not a Terminator movie without some key human players. So gotta stay on theme here.
He's one of the fun ones. He's one of the ones that makes it a little interesting. Like you want to hate him, but at the same time, like he's just doing his job. People talking crazy. He's got to commit him. So,
all right, I will let you have Silberman. Well, I guess open up the fourth round here, but I'll let you have him at that pick.
Okay. All right. Maybe a little early, but you know, we'll see what happens.
Yo, you did justify at least some sort of strategy to it. So I'll give you that. Okay. So let's see. We're closing the fourth round here. Back to back. Going to open up the fifth. So I have one Terminator, two humans. You have two Terminators and two humans. So I'm going to lock down both my Terminators here. I'm glad you got some other humans in there. That's where I was kind of expecting you to, you know, snag up your last Terminator before I could go again. So I like that. I like that I can close out that side and then worry about kind of that human drop off from there. So definitely a lot of options here. I mentioned, you know, I was kind of a closet fan of Dark Fate there. So I'm going to lean into that here with my back-to-back picks. I'm going to pick up two from that movie. Obviously, being the last version of the movie to come out, you have arguably the best upgraded tech off of that. So first one, I'm actually surprised TX went above him, but I'm going to go with the Rev-9 from the Dark Fate, which essentially is two Terminators. So you're going to sit there with your twins pick in the Matrix draft. I'll follow you up with the Rev-9, who has his kind of exoskeleton and then the core skeleton that can split off.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid pick. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little upset that I thought I would have had a chance to get him later on in the rounds there. But
I didn't think it was going to drop this far. So I will gladly take that fourth round here. I mentioned I'm sticking in that movie, so I'll pick up Grace with my next pick. And technically, you know, you can make the case that she's human. You can make the case she's just Terminator. I think when we were kind of having some preliminary discussions on this, we kind of categorized her as a Terminator. So I'm going to lock her up here because she is enhanced to a certain extent. I think she's someone that, with the T-800, I really have a lot of flexibility just from a decision-making process. I think just the way that humans can kind of more real-time kind of make bigger weight decisions as opposed to just kind of a singular focus. I think that's ultimately going to be a value add, and you see that play out in the movies. So is she as strong punch for punch compared to some of these other Terminators? For a stretch, yeah, she is. I think she can do a lot of damage, be really forceful and impactful in the field of battle. One thing to consider is it's going to be kind of in spurts, and she kind of has to recharge after that. So something to consider. I'm going to use her very strategically, but I like having her as, say, my third Terminator slot when I essentially already have three Terminators to match up with you already locked down. So I can take some risk with that and just have her be kind of a huge power swing that I can throw in there.
Yeah, that's a solid three Terminator combo there. The T-800, the Rev-9, and Grace from Dark Fate. Solid Terminator team there. I'm not going to lie. That's a pretty powerhouse three-headed monster there.
I'd be really interested to see the Rev-9 T-1000 matchup. I think that could be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I've got one more Terminator to go here, so hopefully I can combat the quality there you have there. The Rev-9 again, two for one. I mean, that's a pretty solid choice. I'm gonna go ahead and close out this round here, the fifth round, and then start off the sixth round. I'm gonna lock up another human here. I'm gonna go with probably a lesser known human here. He's only in the Terminator 1 movie. I'm going to go with Detective Ed Traxler. Not only does he have a fun name to say, Detective Ed Traxler, but you know, he's a cop. So I need some law enforcement on the squad here. So
he's like the stereotype of like any 80s cop ever. Yeah. I love it. Yeah, just from the entertainment value.
Quality choice there in terms of just fun names to say, and
scrumpy cop, chain smoking.
yeah, very, very much in like the style of like a Lethal Weapon kind of.
Right. Yep.
Detective, just you know, doesn't believe anything. Just he's been on the job too long. He's too old for this shit, and he's gonna help get the police on your side there. So now I've got the cops on my side. I've got the psychiatrist on my side, and I've got John Connor. So, I mean, I well-rounded human team so far.
That's one way to describe it.
Yeah.
But now you got me thinking I want to do like a Lethal Weapon buddy cop-esque draft. Yeah, I get that in the works now.
I mean,
that Trax is going to go early. He's going to go early to that.
He's a real high-level pick in that one.
Sought after prospect.
Yeah. Then I'm going to go start off the sixth round here. I'm going to pick out my last Terminator because you got me thinking about, you know, the different qualities of Terminator, what they can bring to the table, what kind of different aspect they've got here. I think that one of my favorite Terminators beyond Terminator 2 has got to be Terminator Salvation. So I'm going to go with a Terminator from that one there that might be a little a sleeper pick here. Late round value. I'm going to go with Marcus Wright, played by Sam Worthington. Doesn't know he's a Terminator. Doesn't know. He was a human at one point. Died, got brought back, and became a Terminator unbeknownst to him. He doesn't even know it until, you know, two-thirds of the way through the movie. He doesn't figure out that he's a Terminator. So got a lot of value there. He's got the human quality. He's got some, like, you know, human emotions. He can rationalize some things with his, you know, thought process from when he was a human. And he's got that, you know, Terminator strength and ability. Can jack into to Skynet and help out that way. So, you know, best of both worlds. You know, he's got the human qualities and the Terminator qualities to work for him there. And he works well with John Connor and Salvation there too, who's already on my team. So I think they're going to work well together. They have a mutual understanding now that
that's interesting. Together. I didn't think Marcus Wright was going to make it on the board there. He's kind of the hybrid, right? Where you could go either way. I think him and a Grace matchup would be really interesting. I think, yeah. I don't know if I saw a lot from Salvation where I was like, wow, like Marcus Wright can like do a lot. He's kind of like a lower grade, you know, T-800 even. Like even the one in that movie kind of threw him around. So like from a strength perspective, I don't know if he's really pushing the needle. Doesn't really have a lot of other kind of tools in his wheelhouse to throw at you. Kind of vulnerable because he has human heart and, you know, some weaknesses there. So I don't know. I think that
had we explored that character a little further, like if we got another movie with that character in it, you know, maybe like a year or two down the road, I think he would have been a more valuable asset because he's just kind of like realizing what he can do. Like, all right, now I have to realize like I'm not human anymore. Like I really have this ability to, you know, punch my fist through a steel wall and,
it was just
and
a mental do those things. Block for him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just kind of like he's thinking in terms of being a human when he shouldn't be thinking in terms of being a Terminator. And once he realizes, hey, I can do all the stuff that these Terminators can do, I think he'd be a powerhouse.
Well, a few sessions with Dr. Silberman, and he'll be right on track.
That's it. Yeah. Once he sits down and realizes that, you know, he's good to go. So.
See,
I like that matchup though. You know, you've got TX, the T-1000 and Marcus Wright all together. I think that's a pretty good squad to fight the T-800, the Rev-9 and Grace.
I don't know. See, I think I thought yeah, this was kind of a shoe-in pick. I don't even know what the model number on him would be, but
yeah, I don't know.
Terminator Genesis, which we mostly ignored because it just that's part of the reason that it just hurts your brain thinking about them kind of rewriting some stuff with kind of a redo of that first movie and
like John Connor characters. Coming back as a robot and everything and just
yeah, I think it would be technically described as John Connor, right? But he's one. Yeah. He's kind of a still imposing foe. He has the shape-shifting powers to that. When we talk about some of the things I'm going for on the human element side with like the decision making, much more advanced from a battle plan and thought perspective. So I thought that was kind of the locked in last pick on the Terminator side. So I'm actually pretty pumped that you snagged right over him. I can't pick him up still, but you know, just the fact that he's off your team, I think that was something else I would have to account for.
Well, I mean, it's up to you now to close out your team here. You've got the sixth round pick and leading off the seventh round to close out your team. You got two human spots left. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Don't mess this up, man. Let's see how it goes.
I think. Okay, so now it definitely gets interesting because it's pretty thin pickings here. And I think you got to get creative with some of these. When I look at the humans, what are they actually bringing to the battle? How am I going to stack up against someone like Ed Traxler? It's something to consider. So I think the only natural way to play it is you got to lean into Salvation because you have much more seasoned humans. They're basically like soldiers kind of living and breathing in this environment of like fighting Terminators every single day. So
yeah, they've been around it.
I'm going to lock down Barnes here from Salvation, played by Common. Just someone from what I can think of, I want to say he's a pretty good sniper shooter. Pretty good with a long range rifle. So I got that value add. And I think just in terms of, you know, we got our Terminators coming against the human side, Kyle Reese, Sarah Connor, Barnes, they're going to have some tricks up their sleeve, battle them as much as a human can in that scenario. So I like taking that for some late round human value there. And I got one more and then you'll close it out with your last pick here.
Yeah.
I'm going to have fun with this one. Here's on my short list. I have queued down at the bottom, but I don't know if I can end this draft without him showing up. I'm going to bring in punk leader, Mr. Bill Paxton, onto my team here, adding some comedy value, maybe being a sacrificial lamb for your Terminators to distract them. I don't know. I just want him on my team. I mean, come on, Bill Paxton. Game over, man.
Right. I mean, he's a good little matchup for Dr. Silberman. I mean, he's about as useful probably there. So
that's the key matchup of the night.
Yeah.
Punk leader, just Bill, like a, Bill off Paxton. On the side having a debate about anything.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, the human side gets a little thinner after you get through your Sarah Connors and John Connors. It's a fun pick. It's supposed to be a fun fantasy draft. They can't all be dead serious here with these picks. So
after Silverman and Trax, so I feel like I had some flexibility to.
That's it. Yeah.
To get one guy. Yeah, a little
wiggle room.
Yeah.
I loosened it up for you. Don't worry.
Yep.
Go ahead and open up the jar of pickles on your own now.
I loosened it.
Well, I got to close out this draft. I got my last human spot. I'm a little surprised you didn't go this direction because we talked about it at the top of the round here, top of the show here, about multi versions of characters. You could have multi versions of different characters on your team. So I'm surprised you didn't go this way, having such a high ranking thought process. Your first human being, Sarah Connor from Dark Fate. I'm surprised you didn't double up on the Sarah Connors here because I'm gonna drop in my last human. I'm gonna go Sarah Connor from Terminator 2 because you did talk about you know, how effective she was in Terminator 2. And you thought maybe Dark Fate, she had just a little bit more experience. Mm-hmm. She's a little more grizzled, a little hardened. You know, I prefer my Sarah Connor less grizzled and hardened. I want her to be a little bit more methed out of her head, you know, just like on the verge of crazy. She's been locked up in this loony bin for a while. Chain smoking cigarettes.
This is typical. Just control chaos on your team.
That's it.
You got Bale raging on set, and then Sarah Connor coming straight out of the mental institution,
right out of the loony bin. Yeah, just just plotting.
And Traxler is just at the end of his wits, just wants to go home.
She's worked with Silberman before, so I'm sure having him on the same team as her, you know, that could be a huge advantage. And so I'm gonna lock down Sarah Connor from Terminator 2. The cracked out version, a little less seasoned than the Dark Fate one, but I think she's useful. She's badass. When she gets to the desert, she gets her stockpile of weapons there. You see how, you know, how well prepared she is. She's ready to go. You know, she reminds me of, Burt Gummer from the Tremors movie. By the time Tremors 2 comes around, she's like Tremors 2, Burt Gummer. She's locked
and loaded. Which we all strive to be someday.
That's it. You know, Tremors 1, he was a little underprepared. Tremors 2, he's good to go. He knows what he's dealing with. Same with Sarah Connor in Terminator 2.
Life goals.
That's it.
Yeah.
No one wants Sarah Connor from Terminator 1 because she's just naive and just she's underprepared.
That's true, but she does accomplish a lot, though.
She does. She has John Connor. So,
yeah, I mean, there's definitely some that's some good late round value there, right? I think that especially doubling up, cornering all the Sarah Connors, huge part of the franchise.
Yeah,
gonna be a good addition to the team, no matter where she's drafted, but. I think there's an X factor with punk leader Bill Paxton that I think it's just really hard for your team to match. So I'm okay with that decision at the end of the day. A little disappointed you didn't snag up Ginger for the last pick, though, from the first Terminator. I thought she was a sure pick to make it on one of these teams. You know, walking around with her headphones on full blast, zero awareness of what's going on. Or whatever, for Ginger.
Maybe if we had had a bonus spot there.
If it was like a sacrificial Leia pick. There.
Yeah.
Puck leader and Ginger would be locked in for those.
I think so, for sure. Or maybe like stepmom in Terminator 2 when, you know, she's like, hey, what's wrong with Foxy or whatever his name is? Oh, she's okay. The dog's name is Spike. Yeah.
Your foster parents are already dead.
That's right. And then you zoom out to the stepdad, like with the blade, like right through his face in the carton of milk. The
milk, yeah.
Classic.
Classic. Late 80s, early 90s action movies.
Yeah.
Glory days. So. Yeah, so we got our teams here. So just run down the list here. For my three Terminators, got the T-800, the Rev-9, and Grace. And then for my humans, Sarah Connor from Dark Fate. Kyle Reese from the original Terminator. We got Barnes from Salvation. And then, of course, punk leader Bill Paxton closing it down for us.
A solid team there. You know, maybe want me a few weak spots. Well, at least one anyway. But it's all right because I've got one on my team too. So for my Terminators, I got the T-1000 from Terminator 2. Mr. Robert Patrick running like a maniac. And
Maniac.
We got the TX from Terminator 3, kind of the upgraded version of the T-1000. Marcus Wright from Salvation. Then my humans, we got John Connor from Salvation, playing by Christian Bale. Dr. Silberman, Detective Ed Traxler could be the dark horse of the entire draft. And Sarah Connor from Terminator 2, the cracked out, less grizzled version of Sarah Connor.
Tremors 2 version, Sarah Connor.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, so, I think you saved your Silberman pick with your pitch. I was ready to tear that a new one, but I think there's some strategy at play there. So I can respect that. Traxler, I'm not going to discount. I'm not going to discount what Traxler is going to bring to the table. But ultimately, where I feel like your team falls apart is that third Terminator spot. I think like the humans can have their kind of one-off play or kind of what they can add. But at the end of the day, it's probably going to come down to the Terminators.
Yeah.
And I think this kind of expanded four-team lineup I have is just going to do quick work on your Terminators.
I mean, it's you got a tough matchup there. Your T-800, again, as OG as he is, he's going to have his hands full with the T-1000 as he did in the movie. He's going to have his hands full with the TX as he did in Terminator 3. I think 3.
He would destroy Marcus, right?
He might.
We saw CGI Arnold just throw him around like a ragdoll.
He did, but again, I'd like to make the point that Marcus just wasn't quite up to par yet.
Untapped. Even with his untapped potential, as you're calling out, I don't think he's going to match the full version of the T-800.
Well,
and even that first Arnold in Salvation was like the initial test number. I don't even think it was the T-800. I think it was the T-600 or something. Like it was or. Wasn't T1.
He was more Terminator 1 Arnold for sure. Yes, yeah. It was
T2 definitely, was slightly upgraded. So
he was definitely the jacked, like extra jacked, just dumb, not talking Terminator. He didn't really. Did he even speak at all in Terminator 1? I don't think he.
Arnold?
Says. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't he think has he's lines.
Even.
Yeah.
He does?
Okay. He's like, what is Sarah Connor? He's going to the police station and has a few lines he drops. And when he has a few. Few lines back and forth with punk leader Bill Paxton.
Okay. Well, few and far between though. So. He was getting paid by the word. He didn't get paid very much for Terminator 1. Yeah. So
I think if I go T-800 on Marcus Wright, take him out. The Rev 9.
The Rev 9 might have his hands full with TX and T-1000.
Yeah. I split them up, right?
Yeah.
They're dealing with that. Marcus Wright, I don't think it's lasting 5 minutes in this. Like, let me just reiterate that. So T-800 people will come in.
I don't like the down talk here towards Marcus. I'm not a fan.
Just being honest. But yeah, T-800 is going to come in and be able to provide some support. And then once I got one of them knocked down, Grace is going to come in with some finishing blows there. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be a good one for sure.
It's going to come down to Traxler. It's what it's going to come down to.
I think it is. You can't discount him.
This was a good one, though. My mind hurts thinking of all the timelines. I may have to go take a nap after this.
I'm going to have to go rewatch about like four of these movies here just to make sure. I know I made the right choice with Marcus. So you can't even talk me down on that one.
We need to go off the ledge. Do a live watch together with Salvation just so I can talk shit about him the entire movie. I like the character. I like how they constructed him, but come on. T-800.
Yeah.
All right, that should do it. I think this is the bounce back I needed after the Matrix one. I think you caught me off guard there. You had me back on my, the back of my feet, backing up there. A few sneak attacks, but we're back on track here. Campbell's back on top.
Well, the next ones we have lined up here are gonna really just put you right back on your heels again. So I'm not too worried. This one's too close to call, I think, as most of our battles end up being. But I think this one's subjective for sure.
I do like that most of these come down to like one pick swing either way, where it's like the good debate for it. So we'll
real
see.
Close.
We'll see. Listeners can decide. We'll throw some polls up in Shiphead Nation, our Facebook group, which will be the end all be all of deciding who wins these drafts. So making sure you're, subscribing there and checking out, giving us feedback on where we messed up on these, how awesome my teams are, all that stuff. Love to hear it.
Yeah, and then also, I mean, we didn't mention this at the top of the show, but again, like we're on this new app, Clubhouse.
Oh yeah,
Clubhouse. We're at the Adam D13 and at Ship It Bull. So if you follow us on there, you could get involved on these live fantasy drafts, actually live on Clubhouse. Listen to us on Clubhouse and follow us there. And who knows? Maybe we will even pull up some fans to weigh in on who they think won. If you're in the Clubhouse while we're recording these things. Maybe you'll get to throw your hat in the ring and see what happens.
Yeah, I could get some live feedback after the drafts take place. Maybe even get some celebrity picks where you get like an extra roster spot and the listeners can jump in and pick someone.
Yeah, James Cameron, are you on Clubhouse, James Cameron? We need to know how you feel about this.
Also, I need to know your entire vision of the Terminator franchise when you wrote the first movie.
From 1987 and on.
Yeah. All right, and that should do it. This was a good one. Yeah, it definitely kind of it sparks my interest, even though I recently did to go back and rewatch these just to kind of figure out the timeline piece of it. especially Genesis, because I have it, that just is a blank spot in my brain.
That one's tough. Yeah, I think that maybe you intentionally blocked that one out of your memory. Yeah. just to
I
forgive
had high hopes. I mean,
franchise.
Looking at the casting, yeah, Jay Courtney. Yeah, I mean, you get.
He was in that?
Yeah, right?
Wow.
I mean, you get like at that time when they came out, you got a lot of people that were like kind of up and coming actors or like getting notoriety within the industry. It was like really good casting when they were announcing it. But, you know, it didn't really land. But we move on. You know, flat. Like I said, if they come out with another Terminator movie, I'll give them one more. One more. All you get, guys.
It's always one more.
Don't take
it's
advantage of me and my goodwill. If it's Arnold, I'll give you two more. But that should
don't say
it
too loudly.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. They're like, yes, we got a few more caches from the ship it guys. All right. That should do it, buddy. We will catch you on the next one. Start preparing for your next ass whooping.
Oh, yes. Yep.
All right. One.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.